Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight we have two women who are partners in business, music, and life. We have Jody James with us tonight, who is a licensed acupuncturist and diplomat of Oriental medicine. Hello, Jody.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you.
Thanks.
We also have Carol Gardner, who is a certified massage therapist and a neuromuscular therapy neck and back pain specialist. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks so much for being here, both of you.
Thank you.
Besides being in business together, they also are in a lesbian band called Mr. Sister, and they are the parents of two kids.
But before we speak with Jody and Carol, and there's so much to learn about them, here's news and events with Greg Moralia.
Good evening. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, March 25th, 2012. Mitt Romney has not only signed a pledge from the National Organization for Marriage to fight for an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that would prohibit marriage equality, but there's also now evidence he's given money to the anti-gay group's efforts, this according to a document circulated by the Human Rights Campaign earlier this week. The HRC posted a copy of a Federal Election Commission filing from the Alabama-based Free and Strong America PAC, run by Romney's presidential campaign in 2008. It shows a $10,000 donation to NOM that could very well be the same contribution that a campaign spokesman bragged about that would help fund the Prop 8 battle here in California. HRC and others are calling on Romney to denounce NOM, but as a 2012 candidate, he signed a pledge from the group that commits him to its ideals, including a ban on marriage equality via an amendment to the U.S. Constitution, an effort to repeal marriage equality in Washington, D.C., and the formation of a presidential commission to investigate NOM's opponents. The HRC said, quote, "The evidence continues to pile up and is painting a very clear picture of Mitt Romney's anti-LGBT associations. A candidate can't claim to be better for gay rights than Ted Kennedy when it's convenient, but then fund a far-right anti-LGBT strategy to keep other interest groups happy." And here locally, last Saturday, congregants of the St. John's Episcopal Church in Petaluma looked on with pride. Retired Reverend Lee Beisner, Bishop of the Diocese of Northern California, led the ordination of a new priest and a longtime congregant, Mac Olson. Also in the audience was Olson's partner of 9 years, Jeremy Kerrigan. The couple was at the core of a dozen or so congregants who had formed after a majority of the church split from the diocese in 2006, objecting to the denomination's stance on homosexuality. The 2003 ordination of an openly gay bishop, Gene Robinson, in New Hampshire, led to the divisions within the U.S. Episcopal Church and the departure of some conservative congregations, including the one in Petaluma. The breakaway group was renamed St. John's Anglican, retained the landmark church in Petaluma until 2009, when a court decision turned ownership of the 118-year-old building to the group that supported gay ordination. Olson graduated from the Iliff School of Theology in Denver in 2006, but he decided not to become ordained as a priest because he felt, based on the experience of his gay and lesbian friends, that the process could be damaging and hurtful. That changed when he came to Petaluma, just as the Petaluma congregation was building its new identity around inclusiveness. He and Kerrigan moved west when Olson became the director of judicial affairs at Sonoma State University. Reverend Olson said, "Before becoming a member of this church, I couldn't enter the priesthood with a sense of integrity of who I am as a gay person. Joining this congregation really lit a fire under me. It was such an overwhelming experience of love. I felt like I could be 100% myself as a person of faith. I could bring my whole self to my sense of calling." Surrounded by supportive congregants, fellow priests from other Episcopal churches, his partner, and even his mother, who had flown in from Pennsylvania, Reverend Olson will embark on the next part of his spiritual journey as an openly gay priest in a religious community that has overcome prejudice and moved toward complete inclusion. And finally, Our congratulations to the Advocate magazine, who celebrated the 45th anniversary of its service to the LGBT community by providing high-quality coverage of our news, events, and history. Hall of Fame honorees helped celebrate at a dinner last week in Los Angeles. You can see pictures and a list of the Advocate Hall of Famers at www.advocate.com. And our thanks to everyone at the Advocate for all you do. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, April 2nd at 7 p.m., the Parents of Transgender Youth Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, April 3rd, from 1 to 4 p.m., rapid HIV testing is offered at Face-to-Face, Sonoma County AIDS Network, at 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. And also on Tuesday, from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the trans group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. On Thursday, April 5th, from 7 to 9 p.m., Men for Men Support Group will gather at the Marin AIDS Project, 910 Irwin Street in San Rafael. And finally, on Sunday, April 8th at 7:30 p.m., PFLAG's Napa Support Group will meet at the Covenant Presbyterian Church, 1226 Salvador Avenue in Napa. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
If you just joined us, you are listening to Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and we're here in studio with Jody James and Carol Gardner, and that was them in their band, Mr. Sister, and that was Angie singing,
yeah.
And Jody, you were on background vocals,
yeah.
And Carol, you were on drums.
Yes.
So it was beautiful, mm-hmm. And later in the show, around 8:30 or so at a music break, we're going to be playing another song of yours, and so I'm sure everybody out there listening can't wait to hear that either.
All right.
So
wow.
Welcome.
Thank
welcome.
You.
Wow, that was like cool. Had a nice rhythm to it. So how long you guys been doing music? I mean, you wear all these different hats, and how do you have time? I mean, you know, so what so tell us about the music. Let's start there.
With Jody.
Jody, you can speak first.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that song was written by Angie Anting, our bass player. And we've been playing together for, about 6 years? And with the new configuration, we have a new guitar player who's been with us for about a year. So lots of fun. The reason that I'm in the band is because of Carol. Before I met her, I had absolute extreme stage fright. I spent my whole life avoiding being in front of groups or people. And I saw Carol up on stage a couple places, but I saw her doing her thing, all relaxed, had met her a little socially, but didn't really know her. But I saw her up there, and I said, I got to get me some of that moxie, you know. It's just like it was so great to see somebody doing something that I thought, well, if I don't do it now, I never will. And so I got to know her based on a little bit on, you know, that was a common thread right there. It's like, you're doing it. I want to do it. How do you get there?
Ah, those are three questions. What did you say to that, Carol?
Well, I think it's great. I had no idea, you know, that she was watching me.
Ah.
I had no idea. I didn't have a clue. But as far as me playing music, I've been playing since the 70s, off and on in different bands in the Bay Area. And then I moved up here to Sonoma County and was raising my daughter with my ex-partner. So we were in a small space, so there really wasn't a place for my drums to be set up. So there was a big break in my music, and I felt like a big hole in my soul. It was really missing. So it was nice to, in the early 90s, to be able to find some musicians and pull some stuff together. And that's when I met Angie through my ex-partner and got her back into the music, and we started playing. And then in with us, some other women, and then started playing at the Center for Spiritual Living up on stage. So
wow.
Jody saw me there.
Oh,
okay, that's the meeting.
Was watching.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But I also saw her at Diva Fest, and I thought, ooh.
So how did you come up with the title Mr. Sister? What's that all about?
Oh, that's Angie. I don't know where it came from. Angie, I've never gotten an answer on that. But I kind of think of myself, especially in the former group, as the sister among the misters, because I tend to be the most femme of the bunch.
Belly dancer.
Oh, you're belly dancer too?
Yeah.
Oh, another hat.
Wow, we want to come and see you guys play. Do you have any concerts coming up?
Well, we missed Gay Pride this year. We tried, didn't get in.
Uh-huh.
But I think we might be playing Aubergine around June, July.
Hopefully.
Oh, all right.
Hopefully.
Well, let us know and we'll
available
advertise
for private
it.
Parties?
Yeah.
Oh, so you are available.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's okay. What we do mostly.
Oh.
And no website or anything? How do people get in contact with you if they want you to come for a private
well,
show?
Well, we're in the process right now of getting that website up, but right now I can do it through my business website, so we'll get to that information soon, yeah?
Well, speaking of business, why don't we just go into your business? We introduced you, Jody, as a diplomat of Oriental medicine and an acupuncturist.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say a little bit about you in that field of work and your business and where it's located?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just absolutely love what I do. It's just like the absolute best profession. I've been in Oriental medicine for 6 years. In fact, when I met Carol, I was still in school, and that was like, no, I'm not doing relationship right now. I'm trying to pass medical boards. So anyway, it's just wonderful. It's such a flexible medicine. It's use your intuition, science, such a great mix. And it actually helps people, and which I find to be lacking in a lot of medical care these days. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of patients who are just put on drugs and left there mm-hmm. hanging without any real resolution to their health issues. So we
and where's your business out of?
We have a clinic in Grayton.
Both of you together?
Yeah, both
oh,
of us together.
Okay.
And
a
then we team. Also, yeah, we do work very well together. And we also do a low-cost clinic at the Forestville Wellness Center in conjunction with them, helping them provide alternative health services to people who really can't afford them because it's not covered by Medi-Cal or Medicare or a lot of the subsidized medicine. So it's just great. It's a great fit.
Mm.
And I love working with Carol.
Mm-hmm. I love your energy, both of you, and I see how important this work is. How did you get started in Oriental medicine? I'm just curious. 6 years ago, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, it started way beyond prior to that. I was working in landscape architecture, had three car accidents within 13 months, and by the third one, and we're all fender benders where I got hit. By the third one, I was just totally out. I was on disability for 2 years, couldn't feel my arm, couldn't get dressed, couldn't take care of myself. It was pretty extreme, and I just thought sitting, you know, there was no way I was going to go back to being in front of a computer for day after day. And so I just let everything go. I just put it up to the universe. I said, what the heck am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I sat in the darkness for a while, and I woke up one morning and knew that I was supposed to be an acupuncturist, which was, I thought, the biggest cosmic joke because I'm actually one of the biggest needle phobes on the planet.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah. And so the most fascinating thing about it is within 30 days of having that dream, I was in school with my education paid for.
How?
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? So it's just one of those things, sit and listen to the little voice, you know, yeah. That knows more than I could ever know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow. Sure, I don't think she heard you share about that.
Yeah, I mean,
education, paying.
We could
for.
Just let that go, or we could ask you to elaborate. How was it 30 days after you woke up and say, I need to be an acupuncturist. How did that happen? Education paid for, 30 days later you're in school and all that. Because doesn't it take a long time to get accepted and applications and reference letters? And
so what happened is I had already gotten in a prior education most of my pre-med done. I had a few classes left to go. At one point I thought I'd be a midwife, so a lot of that was taken care of. So I was still kind of fascinated why the universe would like want me to be doing this work when the whole idea of it was like, oh, you've got to be kidding. So what happened is that I was one of the few people in the days before the funding cuts who was in the vocational rehabilitation program that paid for re-education. It was like one of the longest programs they've ever supported, but I was so close to, you know, it's a master's degree and then medical boards after that. So I was so close to being ready to go into school. It just all came bump, 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 and there I was.
Oh, fabulous.
As soon as I went in, I knew, like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
How did you get over your needle phobia?
Oh, that was funny. The first time we start with oranges and and inanimate objects, okay, in school. But the first time I had to needle myself, I sat there holding that needle for about 5 minutes shaking and thought, you know, how am I going to do this? But after the initial shock and getting, you know, over that whole I can't do this phobia thing that I had going on, it was just fine. And I never looked back. And it just all went really well.
Great story.
I know. You're a great example of phobias, getting over phobias, you know, the standing in front, right? And then this. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Good role modeling.
And Carol, we introduced you as a neuromuscular therapy neck and back pain specialist. So, as well as being a certified massage therapist. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do in your line of work in your healing clinic?
Okay, well, I'm a massage therapist, and that's one of the modalities that I do. Right now, I am nervous, and my brain is a little foggy. So, to be able to you know, give you a textbook description of what I do, I will not do that. What I feel like, I'm intuitive. I love what I do. It's body, it's spirit, you know, and I love to be able to help people and to be able to make a difference. I was never the type of therapist that, you know, just do like a little spa Swedish thing, which, you know, not to discount that modality, it's wonderful too. But I always wanted to be a little bit more towards the medical side, you know, and that's why I love the integrative health. My allied health professional at Palm Drive Hospital, and, you know, I've studied more with the medical massage. So I just love to be able to working with, you know, different age groups. I have many clients in their 80s. And, you know,
how is it to massage someone when they're 80 versus someone when they're 20? What's the difference?
Very different. They're, you know, the skin is very thin, and, you know, depends on different health concerns. Some have pacemakers and varicosity and stuff like that. So just being intuitive. And sometimes, like, I had a 100-year-old woman, and it was almost an energetic, you know, massage. I mean, I was touching, but it's very therapeutic. Healing touch. You're not really getting in deep tissue massage, stuff like that. No. But I love it.
It sounds fascinating. So what do you do at the hospital? I mean, you said you're an allied medical
Allied health professional?
Yeah.
Well, the part of an integrative health program that they have there, which has been floundering a bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm there to massage the patients if they want that.
I see.
Which is wonderful. You know, just little short treatments.
So you have your clinic and the hospital.
And yes, and a lot of private clients. And I travel to the Michigan Women's Music Festival. This will be my sixth year.
Really?
You all should go if you're women.
Never been there.
It's incredible. And Jody and I, we go down to Southern California twice a year to work at a women's retreat. and a yoga retreat. So it's just great work. I love it.
Wow, busy, busy. So tell us about your clinic. I mean, what do we need to know about your clinic? How long you had it?
Yeah, well, it's been about 6 years, and this year we've kind of figured out that we're going to need more space. We're getting full, but it's just lovely. It's out in the Redwoods, and you know, down Graydon is such a quaint little town anyway, a whole block long. Yay! But it's, you know, pretty serene, lovely, kind of cozy home kind of feel. And everybody who comes in said, oh, did you feng shui? Well, no, not really, but that's the kind of feeling that you get there.
But when on the website you look at the fountain, and Jody did that. She did all of that.
Did what?
She made the fountain. She planted all
the pond.
The pond, beautiful. The plants, everything.
Stone planter, yeah.
Well, can you give the website address for folks, and then we'll do it again at the end of the show?
Yes, yes. Our business is Asira's Garden Acupuncture Spa in downtown Graydon. And our web address, the easiest one, is www.acupuncturegoddess.com.
Good, good. Thank you. Yeah, we want people to know about you guys. You're women, excuse me. You know, we like to bring in local businesses, you know, women-owned.
But especially in relationship with one another.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of relationships, so you both have been together as partners for how long? Why don't you tell us how you, well, you kind of talked about seeing Carol on stage, Jody, and, why don't you tell us a little bit about your coming out stories, both of you? Who would like to start, Carol or?
I'll start.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I was working at the Berkeley Free Clinic when I was between 15 and 17, and I would see some women that were kind of close to each other, and like, that's interesting. And then, you know, and I didn't have a problem with that, but I didn't really get into it either. And when I was 17, I joined all women's slow pitch softball team, of course. That's what you do in the 70s. So I did that, and I there was a woman on there that was, you know, I was interested in, but this, you know, I didn't really know much about this. And then it progressed a bit, and she wanted to be more than friends. So I feel like I was kind of manipulated out. And I had to grow into loving her. But I'm so grateful, that, you know, that all evolved that way. It was a little bit difficult. You know, my mother, had said, I heard that there's a bunch of lesbians on that team. And what about your reputation? And I said, I don't care about my bleeping reputation. I was a snotty little teen, but, you know, later on she really came around and supported, you know, me being gay and my relationships to the ones that were treating me good.
Yeah. So it took her a while to come around, as most of our parents. It takes them a while to get used to the idea.
Yes, but she was, she came around pretty quickly.
Great. Yeah. Do you have any other sibs or any other family members that were challenges for you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, as in?
Oh, no, as in no one really cared. Uh-huh. I have two brothers and a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no issues.
And what about friends?
It was hard as in high school.
Yeah.
As with the friends, some just totally dropped me,
oh.
And it really hurt me.
Yeah.
And then it was just very interesting. You know, I'm very easygoing, and it was really hard to just to have be judged like that and to be dropped.
Yeah. So that's tough. Mm-hmm. No, thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
Is she really easygoing, Jody?
Yes. Yep.
So, Jody, what about you? When did you come out?
Oh, fascinating. Well, I don't know that I have one answer for that. When I was in a junior high, about 14 or 15, I swore to God I was going to be a Playboy bunny. And then when I got to be 16 or 17, I figured out I didn't want to be a Playboy bunny. I wanted to have a Playboy bunny. But Anyway, it took me another few years to actually skate in that pool, on that pond. The first time I brought had a woman come to my parents' home to pick me up, I got all kinds of grief from my parents. They said, "That girl is not looking at you right. There's something wrong there," and gave me all kinds of scary kinds of, "Oh, don't go there, don't go there," kinds of messages. So I kind of went back in the closet for a number of years, and was bi for a long, long time. And finally, on my 40th birthday, I told my mother, "Here it is. I've made my choice." And it took them a little while, but they finally found out how much happier of a person I was with being able to live in my truth rather than trying to disguise it or be in marriages that didn't fit and relationships that didn't fit, trying to hide the fact that I really didn't belong there.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come up to, you know, at 40 to do it? What made you do it at that point?
I think I was just really serious about being in relationship with a woman at that point and didn't want to have to hide it anymore. Didn't want to have to be come home for Christmas and leave the girlfriend behind.
Yeah, you did mention marriages.
Yeah. Yes, my son, who's 25 now, Kyle, his father and I were together for several years.
Okay. So your son?
Yeah.
How is he about your relationship with Carol? How is that?
He likes Carol. Yeah. He hasn't been so lucky with prior relationships. I had a few relationships that were very hard on him, and he had a hard time adjusting to the fact that his mom and dad weren't going to be together anymore. And I didn't find out until this year, actually, when we had a heart-to-heart, I did not find out that in the eighth grade he was being beat up on a regular basis for having a lesbian mother. So I just had all kinds of regrets going on right now about wanting to do things, going back and doing things differently. What would I have done differently?
What would you have done differently?
I think I would have been a little more careful about having the fast move in with girlfriends. I think I would have spent more time just being a home, my son and myself, and maybe having the girlfriends have their own home and waiting until it was really a sure thing and right. That it was a good thing for my son.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm curious about Kyle's silence. Has he been able to articulate to you what stopped him from telling you about it in the eighth grade?
No, his response now is that, "You know, Mom, it was what it was, and I'm over it." But that still doesn't help my mother strings, you know, heartstrings going, "Oh my God," I was totally clueless of how detrimental a lot of my son's social life was, and about being present with what he needed and support groups for him. The problem was at the same time he was also had also lost his father in the sense that his father had been in a severe accident, was in a coma, came out with brain damage, and was a violent person after that. So I was not only dealing with a parent for him who was not the father he knew for the first 7 years of his life, and then also trying to work new relationships into the picture. So he was stressed.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's heavy. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. It's very deep and wow. Carol, what about you?
I have an incredible daughter, Sarah Gardner Hart. She just turned 20, and she's the best thing that ever happened to me. And so how that started was I was with her her other mom for, we were together for 19 and a half years. But we were together for about 8 or 9 years. And she was, you know, telling me when we were living in Oakland how she wanted to, you know, get pregnant and have a baby and everything. And I remember standing outside of Bob's Juice Bar at, on Lake Merritt fighting with her because I couldn't even conceive of the idea. I think that, you know, I just thought, you know, the crazy child I was, you know, jumping on and off of trains. I grew up in Rodeo, you know, the train tracks, and we'd jump on the trains, and they'd start off, and then we'd jump off. And I thought, oh, my God, I would die. So it was really challenging and difficult. It's a long story. Are we about ready for a break, or...
Yeah, actually we are.
Okay.
How about if we take a break and then when we come back, you can tell us a little bit more about your relationship with your daughter.
Okay.
And I think you brought something that you'd like to read as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Thanks.
All right.
So, Jody, can you talk about your giveaway and then introduce your song?
Sure. Our clinic in Grayton, Assyria's Garden, is giving away a $30 gift certificate towards either massage or acupuncture. So all you need to do is
call us. We'll take the second caller, and you can call 584-2020 during our music break. Don't call yet. And then you're going to introduce a song.
Yes, so this song is Gonna Getcha. It was recorded last year by Mr. Sister, our band.
The song is called Gonna Get You, but it might get you,
gonna
too.
Gonna Get You, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So it's by Mr. Sister, mm-hmm. Gonna Get You. And we'll take the second caller for a $30 gift certificate for the Grayton Clinic, either for massage or acupuncture. 584-2020. Enjoy.
Are you ready, girl? I got a little something for you.
And that was Mr. Sister. The song was called Gonna Get Ya. It was beautiful. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your music with us. Congratulations goes out to Diane Drake, our caller that won the $30 gift certificate from the
Osiris Garden
Health Clinic. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And we were talking with Carol before our music break about your daughter, and you were starting to introduce us to her. Her name is Sarah. She's 20 years old, and you brought something to read. So could you continue to say what you need to say, and then please feel free to read what
okay.
you have brought.
Well, she changed my life. I feel pretty closed up or selfish before she came into my life, and she totally just blasted my whole heart and my life wide open. And so I said before, you know, she's the best thing that's happened to me. And she started out this world with some challenges. You know, she had some nerve damage at birth, a brachial plexus injury, which was very severe. So we started out with a lot of drama, you know, for many years, going back and forth to OT. And eventually she had major surgery, you know, at Shriners. So, but anyhow, she just developed into just a wonderful, compassionate young woman. She's a vegan, my vegan activist, involved in a center for spiritual living, trying to get the teens and the adults, you know, involved. She does an internship at the Animal Rights Legal Defense Fund here in Cotati. So, and I'm crossing my fingers that she does get accepted at Berkeley. So, there you go.
What does she want to study?
Animal rights law, or I think she said gender studies, you know, if she got into Berkeley. So, mm-hmm. we'll see. I mean, she's a strong Capricorn. She can do whatever she wants to do.
Yeah.
She's a leader.
So, what is it that you brought to read?
She wrote an article, and it really surprised me. And she wrote it when she was in high school. She was 16. It was when the Prop 8, all that business was going on. So I'll go ahead and read it. It was in the Press Democrat. Why shouldn't my parents be allowed to marry? I paint my nails every day, or every 2 weeks. I go to school dances. I have a best friend. I am an advanced placement student. I have two moms. Every day I wear a purple wristband that says Erase Hate. It reminds me of the important battle I and millions of others face every single day, the battle for equality. I have grown up in a family with two loving parents. Both of them happen to be women. I am clothed, fed, sent to school, and in every other aspect treated as most other teenagers are treated by their parents. When I was in kindergarten, none of my classmates cared that I had two moms. Most of them even thought that it was cool. Back then, when we visited one another's house, we learned that some children lived with their grandparents, moms, dads, aunts, you name it. That was before we were jaded with the politics of our parents and leaders. Then it was all about fun and games, acceptance and friendship. Now I have to ask myself, why should every other kid in my class get to have two married parents but not me? What makes my situation so different than everyone else's? Do they love me less or differently than another teenager's parents love their teen? The answer is no. My moms would give their lives in a heartbeat to save mine. They have given me everything I have ever needed and many things that I have wanted. I am not some circus freak because I was raised by two women. I do not have an aversion to men. I am normal in many ways, yet I'd like to think of myself as unique. If you met me, could you look me in the eyes and tell me that my parents are disgusting and should never be allowed to marry? Can you look at me and say that my mommy marrying my mama is the same as a person marrying a horse? Most people can't imagine the hurt I feel when people say mean things about gay people. I know I shouldn't, but I feel as though I and my family are being personally attacked. The sad thing is that this treatment comes from no choice of my mom's or myself. Being gay is not a choice, and even if it were, I don't believe it is wrong. So what if someone loves another person who happens to be the same gender? Is it really hurting if a same-sex couple gets married? No, it is not. It isn't taking anything away from anyone or forcing anyone to do anything. I will never understand how one human can believe that they have some superior lifestyle to another's. In many ways, gays today are treated the same as African Americans were treated until the 1960s. It was dictated to them who they could and could not marry and which churches they could go to. After the passing of Proposition 8, I would naturally assume that I should be expecting a new law dictating which drinking fountains gays can drink out of and which ones only straight people can drink from. That's from a high school student back then, so.
Wow.
That's a pretty dramatic ending there. Wow.
Felt her fire, felt her anger, felt her strength. Yeah, very courageous. Wow.
Hats off to you, Sarah, wherever you are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you for that. And it showed the love that she loves, you know, that she has for you both. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
How are you feeling after reading that?
That's a mouthful. I'm so proud of her anyway with everything that she does, you know, all of her work and her passion. So I love her so much.
Mm-hmm. So are you two activists as well? Because did she get that from some gene or something? Sarah? Mm-hmm. No?
I think we've done our fair share. We've done some protesting in Santa Rosa and
for profit.
And history. Carol has a history with in Oakland, right?
Was marched with Sister Boom for about 4 years.
Yeah. Wow. So you know Carolyn Brandy.
Yes, yeah. When she started it back in the early 80s, and now she's back with it again. And we were with the milk filming with Sister Boom, so that was great.
Right. Tell us how that was working on milk.
Oh, that was fascinating. That was my first overnight shoot where you're up all night and you congregate in the costuming area and they have so many production assistants that you're never without direction of what to do, but they check everything. They check, make sure that you're in your period clothes and that you pass hair and makeup and then the stylist, and then they direct you to the next waiting room, which is closer to the area where you're going to film. And then they take you out into the place where you're going to shoot, and the director tells you what it is they want. And we were expecting to be at it all night long because we didn't know, you know, how many takes. We were also working with a crowd coming from another street, and we were supposed to meet in the crowds coming together while we were playing. So it was fascinating. They did the sound first. They came with their booms, and we had to play, so they had some recordings of it. And then they set up their cameras on the street and did their angles, and there was, you know, all quiet on the set and all the usual things you expect to hear. And then they tell you what you want, what they want you to do, and you do it. And then they say, okay, we're going to run it again. And okay, we're going to run it again. So we did it, three times? And the director said, well, that was great. You guys are really professional. I think we've got it. You guys can go now. And so we go to the all-night buffet. Now, my favorite part, oh, my God, they've got a catering truck.
Feed you well.
Oh, my God, such good food.
Well, yeah, that's anything we do, we remember the food.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
It was great fun.
How many of you were being filmed in Sister Boom for the show?
I think we had like 30.
Uh-huh.
30 in the group, yeah.
And so, most of them were original members from the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, how fun was that?
Right, so we got cut, but they did use the snippets of our recording in part of the movie, which was, there it is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, isn't it?
But I did get a paycheck, so.
Yeah, we got paid. That was
really?
Great. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I didn't know that was part of the deal.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So wonderful. So we haven't really, really, really touched on you two and how long you've been together.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like to hear a little bit about you two and your relationship and being in business together, too. What? Go ahead.
I say 6 years. She says 3. Go, Jody, go.
That's quite a difference of time. What's going
okay,
on?
Okay, so I'll say four. Yeah. No, there was not a meeting of the minds until about 4 years ago. I was kind of skating around being in relationship. I wasn't really ready yet. And yet we were acting as if and going through the motions and having a great time and on constant honeymoon. So it was just the words rolling off my tongue that took 2 years, I guess.
What words are we talking about?
Like, we are in a relationship.
Carol, what's that
She's
look
funny.
About?
Oh, because I tease her all the time about getting married or whatever. I enjoy watching her eyes roll back in her head.
About getting married? Like, you would like to get married as in formal wedding and all that with friends and things?
Just
and
joking.
Oh, you're just joking?
Yeah.
No, she's not joking. But you roll your eyes, Jody?
Yeah, the M word's a little scary for me, so we try to avoid it. But that doesn't mean that this isn't a really successful relationship. This is the first relationship for me that's been absolutely drama-free. Mm-hmm. And we intended it so. I think that was one of the first decisions we made when we met.
It's no like, drama.
Yeah. That's like the bottom
line. So how
line.
Do you not have drama? What's your definition of drama, let's say? Yeah. Let's start there.
Well, it's for me a feeling like there's going to be a lot of emotion around things that don't need to have emotion around them if you handle it as adults and talk about it and come to a meeting of the minds and, you know, being clear, not assuming, not running tapes through your head of what something means before you get clarification,
okay.
You know, inventing little scenarios and, yeah.
All that's for really good communication anyway. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's what you all practice.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Except once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, but once in a while there's a little sticky point, but mm-hmm. I can't say that we've ever had a fight. We've been able to negotiate everything. Sometimes I get a little testy mm-hmm. when I get stressed.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time we're just very, very highly functional.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a recipe for success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we preach all the time is communication, you know, and it sounds like you guys have that under your belt. So.
And you have to when you're working together and playing together. And I can say that those 2 weeks that she goes to the Michigan Women's Festival, music festival, it's like, okay, love you, bye. Bye. Now I'm going to have my time to me.
Yeah.
So, and I'll love you when you get back. But yeah. I don't cry the fact that she's gone for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you hold down the fort? The,
yeah.
Business and all
I, yeah, hold down the fort.
Yeah.
You know?
Excellent. Well, we have about 5 minutes or so, and we always like to wrap up our show with words from the wise, you know, mm-hmm. advice to others. And you have, like what I see right now, like four hats. You run a business, your musicians, your parents, and your partners, your life partners. And so there might be people out there listening, and I'm wondering if you might have some advice to give maybe one person that belongs to just one of those groups or one person that's in all four of those groups. But you all have a lot of life experience behind you, and you are at a place where it sounds like life is good.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you help other people get there, I guess, mm-hmm. is my question. And I'd like both of you to answer. Jody?
Well, as you said, the communication is one important piece. I think the other important piece that I did not realize until I was in my 40s was that you have to be a whole being on your own before you can really pair up with somebody. And if you're looking to get needs met through your relationship, just make sure that they're ones the other person is capable of doing, as well as does it make sense, or are you going to be miserable when they don't come through?
Do you have an example?
All I can say is that we are pretty self-sufficient. And yes, we'll like divvy out assignments. I love being outside doing the outsides of the house things. And she's really good with laundry. So, yeah, you go ahead and do that. And we, you know, get all the work done. And it's not in a traditional split up sense because we all, the great thing about being lesbians is we can do everything, right? but it's just a matter of like where people's comfort level falls. Like I would not put a power tool in Carol's hands and ask her to go build something or cut something. I just know that that's not her comfort zone, but it seems to be working okay. And then we also have our separateness. I am on a sailing crew, and we're out in the bay 2-3 times a month sometimes, and that's my time with my people. And Carol comes once in a while, but I don't have to share everything.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 4-6 years, you guys seem like you've made some, you know, it's kind of clear what you're doing in this relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So go ahead, Carol. You want to say something?
Okay. I think communication is important. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes that is still a little sticky point with me, you know. So that's an area for me for improvement. I think that it's important for you just to be true to yourself, you know, and to honor your own strengths. You said, Jody, that you wouldn't put a power tool in my hands. I was in the U.S. Military and the only female in an Army engineering unit.
Wow, so that's true.
I have had power tools and jackhammers and other things. So it's just been a while, and you were very good at it, you know. So I'll go ahead and let you do it.
Thanks for that clarification. I like that. Woo, go woman. Because I was over here making my own assumptions. You know, it's like, what? She's not going to do any power tools?
But, I don't like saws, but I will operate other heavy machinery. Thank you very much.
I think it's good when you know what you like and what you don't and what your limits are. And I think it's great that both of you recognize each other's strengths and you recognize your own strength and you know what the challenges are. And if the other one can do your challenges, then why not?
Right.
I mean, that's what Di and I do also. I think that makes for a partnership that really works,
right.
You know, and then you don't have unrealistic expectations of one another either.
Right.
So then you would carry this philosophy into your business, into your music then as well, correct?
Yeah, we've come up with a few, good testing points of like how codependent are you in music group because you're constantly cueing somebody, you know, that's their time to play whatever it is they need to play. And so, yeah, you come up against it here and there that keeps reminding you, oh, yeah, we need to set those boundaries and we need to be clear and not fall into old bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you so much for being on our show tonight. You have absolutely made Living Proof a richer show.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure and a growing experience for both of us, I do believe.
Yeah. Any last words, Diana?
No, I'm just really excited. I mean, just it's always wonderful to have people come in on the show and just feel comfortable and just to share your stories because that's what we want to do is have the community hear about you. You know, the people here, we want to give the community voices. So your voices have been heard.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really what KRCB is about anyway, is sharing stories. And that's what we like to do on our show, Living Proof, and all of Outbeat Radio, all of Greg, all of our hosts. That's what we love to do on these shows. And we really want to invite the listening audience, too. If you want to be brave, like Jody and Carol and come on the show and share your stories. Anybody out there, all you have to do is get in contact with us at outbeatradio.org, and we will be happy to talk with you and find a place for you on any one of our 4 shows. Like Jody and Carol, however, you too can be living proof that you can take the experience of your past life, learn from your mistakes, build a better future, find that person that's going to not fill in the void, but actually add to the whole person you already are.
Mm-hmm.
We, Diana and I, want to wish you a really good week, and we will, you know, before the next Outbeat show next Sunday, but we will be back in May. We have guests from
Matthew Shepard Foundation, the executive director and his partner will be on.
Yes. So do come tune in for that. And on June, we will be having our Pride show.
Pride show, yes.
Di and I will be out at Pride, and Greg will be there with us, and we'll be recording Voices from Pride. So that will be our June show. So from all of us here at Living Proof, we wish you farewell and be well. And
good night.